You mean like sort of on...
I guess I love you.
Tragedy struck.
I see you haven't lost your touch.
All right, guys, this is Tyler for Project Nerd coming to you live from Gen Con 2019, and I'm here with Patrick from Crafty Games. Patrick, how's your show going so far?
It's going really well. This show is bustling. There's people from all over, and the place is just popping.
Yeah, it is a crazy floor today. So I got to say, I love Crafty Games, but if I hadn't already set up an interview with you, I would have been here anymore anyway, because Mistborn and Brandon Sanderson everywhere. So for those of you people who listen to the Nerdcast know that I'm the book guy, and I'm a huge Sanderson fan. So how did you guys end up working with the Mistborn property and Sanderson?
We actually had one of our regular, longtime fans who shoved a book in our hands and said, you need to read this. It would make an awesome RPG setting. And Alex was first to get to the book. I was a little busy at the time. And he read it, and he called me, and he said, you know, Brandon is in... this is really cool, and Brandon is on tour, not far from my house. So he went and harassed Brandon on tour, and it turns out Brandon's a big game nerd just like us, so he was really all about it, and it was just about working out the deal from there. So, and we've been doing this 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I feel like first time you read about how Allomancy works, you're like, this is a game mechanic, and I love everything about
it. Yeah, his magic systems just scream RPGs, yeah, and or really any game. So,
you have two different big games in the Mistborn universe. You have the RPG, and you've got the new board game. Tell me a little bit about the RPG.
So in the RPG, it's called the Mistborn Adventure Game. There are five supplements for it. Three of them are in the Classic era, two are in Alloy of Law era. Technically, one's the rulebook, so I guess it covers both. In this, you're playing heroes, much like the heroes in the novels. So you're building a crew. You build backwards. You start with what is it we're trying to accomplish in the world. And that sort of informs the type of crew that you need to build, and that informs the types of characters that you need to support that that crew. So rather than people building characters and sort of every the adventure coming out of that, we attack it backwards. And that process also sort of gives the GM the ammunition he needs to build the adventures that will challenge your group really well, which is critical in a narrative setting like this, because it's a lot like Star Wars, right? Like people, they have a little bit of difficulty looking past what happened in the movie or what happened on the page. And so we that was the nut we had to crack when we worked on this. Like, how is it that we make sure the characters can stand out and have their own identity away from Kelsier and away from Vin? And maybe they'll meet those characters, but ultimately they have to have their own story, right? It's also a sort of narrative system. It's more in the crunch level of Fate than a D&D, which was one of the things that Brandon was really adamant about. He's a
nice,
big fan
nice
of
low barrier to entry for new people and stuff.
Exactly,
like that.
Exactly, yeah. And he wanted something that was storytelling oriented, and he really liked the old D6 West End Games Star Wars game, and so we looked to that a lot for inspiration for how it was handled. And so, yeah, you're playing the heroes of the novels, or something adjacent to them, yeah.
So I sat and I watched, before we ended up talking, watched House War for a little bit. It looks interesting. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with House War.
Yeah, so House War was the curveball. We made that, and everybody's like, wait a minute, you're not playing the heroes in this one? We actually flipped the script on it. You're playing the nobles. And this came out of a conversation we had with Kevin Wilson, who designed the board game. And we're trying to figure out what to do with a board game. We knew we wanted one. We wanted to do something that was a little bit different. And he's like, I really like negotiation games, and I've always wanted to build one. And so we came up with this idea that while the novels are happening and the Empire's falling apart because of Vin's efforts and Kelsier's efforts, the nobles are frantic because the Lord Ruler has laid down all of these edicts for what has to happen. He can't deal with those problems. He's got bigger fish to fry. You are these noble houses that are dealing with a never-ending cavalcade of problems that are being caused by these heroes. They're coming from a problem deck and marching across the board. And if they get too far, they erupt. And when they erupt, bad things happen for everyone. And it's a co-op competitive game. So the idea is that you have to work together in order to do anything, really, because most of the problems are too complicated for any single player to handle. But if you work together, you can solve them. what you have to do at that point is negotiate how much you're going to get out of each deal. Like, how many benefits are you going to get? How much of the Lord Ruler's favor are you going to be able to curry? And at the end of the game, only one house is going to be closest to him. That's the house that actually winds up on top. However, there's a trick, and this is one of Kevin's interesting twists here, is there's an unrest meter. And the unrest meter gradually climbs up based on problems and a number of other things that happen in the game. And if the unrest meter tips over, then the Lord Ruler is killed and the Empire falls. And you want to be as far away from him as possible. So there's this scale, and you want to be either at the top end of it, or if the unrest meter tips over, at the bottom end of it. You don't know which one of those you're going to want at the beginning of the game. So you can't just play hard one way. You have to sort of play the middle as long as possible.
Interesting. But I get to stop Vin and Kelsier from toppling the Empire.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Vin and Kelsier are problem cards in the game.
Do I get to send Inquisitors out to crunch
the
skulls?
There is, an Inquisitor Mini, and the Inquisitor Mini is used to identify the problems you're going to go after. And there's a Kelsier Mini that sits on the unrest board and reminds you that constantly he's doing something. And we actually, here at the show, we're showing off the expansion, Siege of Lúthedain.
Oh.
Yeah, that covers the second book in the trilogy. In Well of Ascension, for those who don't know, the capital city is under siege. The events have transpired in the novels. The world is in upheaval. And so there's a group inside in the city that are trying to keep order, and there's a group outside that want to capture the city. And so we twist everything around, and now you're trying to curry the Lord Ruler's favor, you're trying to curry the favor of the people,
okay,
so that you can be in charge of the city.
Nice.
But the city could topple at any point. And there, instead of having an unrest track, you have a Vin's journey track, and the Vin is meanwhile going out and trying to do what she does in the novels, which is solve a grand mystery. And as that happens, things ramp up, and the Koloss, which are this blue-skinned, humanoid, hulking, rampage monster force, are available for anyone to sort of seize control of. But as you do that, the further into Vin's journey she goes, the more dangerous it becomes to keep the Koloss. So they're great short-term, hugely powerful force, but then every once in a while, they'll just go nuts. And so if you happen to be in control of them at that point, it's bad news for you.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Without getting too spoilers, I guess, does ruin and preservation play a part under the surface there?
A little bit, but we're saving most of the ruin and preservation stuff we do for the next thing we
do
with Mistborn House War, yeah.
So I saw these dice you have over here. Obviously,
oh, yeah,
for those people who are fans of Mistborn and Allomancy and Ferrochemy, like, tell me about these dice, because they look fantastic.
So it started years ago. We made an acrylic set, a 10-die acrylic set that's sort of swirly metal. There are 10 allomantic symbols, all the biggest symbols. People really liked them. We made them because they go well with the RPG, but they're great collector's items, right? And people immediately started asking us, when are you going to make metal dice? And so we held off for the longest time, because it's metal dice. Like, really? They're crazy high-end. And we found a great partner eventually in Die Hard Dice, a company that's here, not exhibiting at the show, but they're on site. And fantastic partners. Cannot recommend them enough. They've got spectacular quality with all of their items. And they're big Mistborn fans. And they were like, well, we can do this. And so we sat down with them and figured out how to make 20 unique die-cast metal dice. Each one has a different symbol from the allomantic alphabet, replacing the six. Each one has a unique metal plating and a unique finish that sort of mimics the metal in question. So gold
so
looks
one,
like gold.
One of those not isn't actually made of lead, you're telling me?
No. Don't swallow them. They do not give you superpowers. Yeah.
So you're saying that one's not actually made of ATM?
No.
All right, well, fair enough.
Unfortunately, we have not managed to make an ATM die yet. But these are the next best thing.
So you guys are getting ready to Kickstarter these, then?
Yeah, in the next couple of months. It'll be probably September-ish, maybe early October-ish, but we're asking everybody to sign up for our newsletter because we're going to be launching news about it there first. They're spectacular. They're awesome. Gorgeous.
And for those who are aware, like, they are still just normal six-sided die with the six replaced. So you can still use them for any game if you just love Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, the detail doesn't even end there because they're normal D6s, right? You may not have noticed when you're looking at them, but the numbers on them are impacted by the type of metal involved.
Oh, really?
So the pushing metals, the numbers are depressed. The pulling metals, the numbers will rise up. Yeah. There's all sorts of crazy details that we did with these, which is fantastic.
So if people want to sign up for the newsletter and find out about these die, what do they need to do?
Just go to our front page. Yeah, crafty-games.com, and there's a link right there. So that anyone asks, they're going to ask the obvious question. Yes, we're offering a dice tray too. Yes, it's custom. There are pictures of it online. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
The dice tray does look nice. It's got the Allomantic alphabet engraved all around the edges. Yeah. Nice and made of leather. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I love that you guys are doing stuff. I mean, Brandon Sanderson is, for a lack of a better word, one of the best world builders out there.
And he really is.
It really lends itself to cool games. Any plans to ever venture farther into the Cosmere, or is it all Mistborn?
We talk about it all the time. Anything is possible. Right now, we're focusing on Mistborn and doing the best job we can there. So
fantastic. Yeah. And then one thing I did really want to ask you about, because I don't think we see enough games. I mean, there's always games here for kids, but there's not a lot of, like, really RPG games for kids.
It's true.
I love Little Wizards, but then tell me about this big giant box over here.
Yeah. We just acquired Storm Hollow. We're so proud of this. We talked to Angie and Julian, the folks from Escapade Games. We've always been big fans of the product because how can you not be? It's gorgeous. It's a board game RPG hybrid. And it's beyond description, right? Like, it starts as a board game, it ends as an RPG, it swings back to being a board game, it does both fluidly and perfectly. It's great for families. Anyone of any age can enjoy it. And it's gorgeous. We acquired that. We have a very, very limited amount of the original game, which has been out of print and out of stock for ages. That we're offering here and on our website. And we also have Riftwalker, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but it's a card game they built inside the universe. I can show it to you right over here.
Fair enough.
Right after the interview. But it's sort of tic-tac-toe on crack. You're playing Riftwalkers, which is one of the character classes from the game, and you're trying to channel energies and open rifts. It's actually a lot more gamey than it looks like at first. And we're offering it for only $10 here, so it's a spectacular buy. Storm Hollow, getting back to the main game, we're going to be re-envisioning that. We're working with the original developers and the original designers to re-release it as a second edition that'll be more retail-friendly, more customer-friendly, because it won't be in an 18-pound box. And then once we have managed to get all of the stuff that is already out sort of repackaged with possibly a little bit of new material, but mostly it'll be the stuff that you've seen before, we're going to be releasing all new material for Storm Hollow. So there'll be a whole new edition.
I like it. So if you have kids and you want to gateway them into real RPG, I mean, into big RPGs, this is the way to do it.
Start with Little Wizards, move into Storm Hollow, then go off and enjoy whatever it is that your kids love.
Fantastic. Yeah. Sorry, I keep looking at the dice. They're so fun. They're so beautiful.
They are gorgeous.
So, I mean, Patrick, anything else Crafty Games is working on the horizon that we need to know about?
Tons, but not a whole lot that we can discuss right now.
I love it. All right. Well, guys, Patrick, thanks so much for talking to us. Crafty-games.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Find out about these dice coming to a Kickstarter near you. And, Patrick, have a great show. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.